Psalm 23, we've been on this psalm for some time. When we first started to do a general outline to prepare some lessons, I thought maybe 12, 16 weeks, but it just kind of grows the more you look at it. And verse 6, we've been noticing the assurance, the tone of assurance that we see in those words. And we've seen that the Bible, of course, is written in a tone of assurance, a tone of confidence. In the Bible, this assurance is many times called hope. And we looked at that last week. It's not a I cross my fingers type hope, or a I wish it were so, or maybe so. Hope that it might work out. But it's an immovable, unshakable, undeniable anticipation and expectation that it will happen, that it must happen. And it all goes back to, of course, the Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. So last week we looked at this word, hope. We'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll read verses 18 and verse 19, seeing a characteristic of this hope, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have. And the two immutable things are back in verse 17. That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, I believe that hope is Christ. There's where our assurance is. But then he says, which hope? Referring back to the hope that we've laid hold upon, the hope that is before us, which hope we have. We already possess it. And then it's likened unto something, as seen in the next word, as. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. And this is both sure and steadfast. This hope is sure and steadfast. But it's like an anchor. Now, an anchor, of course, is used for securing a ship. One of the reasons is to prevent it from drifting. And we're not talking here about an anchor for a ship, as valuable as that ship might be. But we see it's an anchor of the soul. Keeps our soul from drifting. What an anchor does is it grabs hold of the ground beneath the water. It grabs hold. And that's what is spoken of there in verse 18. We've laid hold of the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor for the soul. It not only keeps the ship from drifting, it can keep the ship from being wrecked. This hope will keep us from drifting. I mean, you absolutely are positively 100% convinced this is true. That'll keep you from drifting. As long as you think, well, you know, maybe so-and-so has a point. Maybe that could be true. You're going to drift. That's why it's so important to be settled in the Word of God. That hope, that assurance keeps us from drifting. It's also kept many a life from being wrecked. It also keeps the ship from losing headway. Assurance will keep us from losing headway. People that are of double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James said. And that's true. A double-minded man is one who just goes back and forth, and the reason is he's not settled. This hope, this assurance is what settles us. Again, the hope here in Psalm, the assurance is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, which leads to an anticipation and an expectation. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That'll keep you from drifting. So this hope is like an anchor. It's also like a helmet. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. But let us who are of the day, he talked about those who are of the night, the lost, those who are of the day are the saved, be sober, that is, be clear-headed, sensible, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope, the assurance of salvation. So this assurance helps us to be clear-headed, helps us to be spiritually sensible. It protects our minds. It's like a helmet. It protects our head. It protects us from a fatal blow. When you get something in your mind that's not right, that's a fatal blow. But this hope, this assurance, something, our minds are being attacked every day. But you and I that have assurance can say, no, I know that's not so because I know this is. And it acts as a helmet. It protects us. This is a hope that we knew nothing about in our unsaved condition. Ephesians 2 verse 12 says that we were without hope. We were without hope. And that's why Brother Charlie just referred to people looking for that one thing. They don't even know what the one thing is. And they go from here to there and so on. Because they have no hope. They have no assurance. They're not sure of anything. And they wander. But for you and I that are saved, we no longer wander. Amen. We no longer seek that which is vain because of things that we know. Things that we assuredly know. So this hope is like an anchor. This hope is like a helmet. Keeps the poison of the world from our minds. This hope has an energy. Notice in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, that's the new birth, unto a lively hope. Unto a lively assurance. Hope must have a basis by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's one of the foundations of our hope, of our assurance, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I often ask people when they say something, I'll say, and what are you basing that on? And many times they're not basing on anything. And so it is with hope. What are you basing your hope on? You got to base it on something. And we base our hope on Christ. We base our hope on the Lord. Therefore, we're absolutely certain. And we see here it says it's a lively hope. That means it's energetic. It's active. It's dynamic. It's vibrant. This hope. It doesn't just lie dormant, but it's lively. And then notice in 1 John 3 and verse 3, concerning this lively hope that has its basis in the resurrection of Christ. 1 John 3 and verse 3, and every man that hath this hope, it's a particular hope, referring back to verse 2, which is speaking of the coming of Jesus Christ. Again, our hope has a basis in Jesus Christ. And every man that hath this hope, and it's a lively hope, notice, in him. So it's in us. That is, it's become a part of us, this hope. It's not just out there. It's in us. That means wherever we go, it's there. It's in us. And then it goes on to say, purifieth himself. If you have this hope, again referring back to verse 2, also verse 1, the love of Christ, the second coming of Christ. If you have this hope in you, it does something. Purifieth. And that's ongoing, because this hope is what? It's lively. It's always lively. It's always energetic. It's always vibrant. And it's in us. And it works as a purifying agent. That's why we are convinced today. A lot of other reasons too, but we are convinced that many who profess to be saved have not this hope in them. It's not working in their lives. Purifieth us. It purifies us from selfishness. It purifies us from worldly lusts and erroneous notions. Well, we can all get erroneous notions from time to time, but hope corrects it. We say, no, this notion that's in my head can't be right because the Word of God says this. And I know this is true. Whatever is impure and unholy, it purifies us from that. It raises the mind from carnal things to spiritual things, this hope. It focuses upon a holy God. And it attaches our affections to things above, not on things on the earth, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It awakens the conscience. This assurance makes our conscience tender. This hope, this assurance within us, working in us, enables us to walk through difficulties. Hope will do that. It will enable you to walk through problems and sorrows and situations that are overwhelming. It will enable you to walk through trials and tribulations and pressures. This hope that is within us will enable one to pass through all the chaos of the world. And the world's in a state of chaos. And the reason is they have no hope. They don't know what is certain. And the turmoil, the temptations. It's hope that enables us to endure these things. And this hope, this assurance fills us with determination. It fills us with resolve. It fills us with passion and steadfastness for God. This hope that's within us is a powerful, powerful influence in our life. It is a lively hope, the hope that is within us, the hope that is in us. It's lively. It's doing something. So we need this hope. We need this assurance. And when we read God's Word, we need to pray that God would give us assurance. This is so. This is so. Because there's always going to be someone who says, I've got a better idea. There's no such thing. This hope provides peace of heart and mind. Assurance gives peace of mind. It causes us to know that all is well. Those aren't just words. Those who have this lively hope working in them, they know all is well. I don't have to be able to explain it. I just know all is well. That's this hope. And this hope gives songs in the darkness. Gives songs in the night. In the book of Job, chapter 35, and verse 10. But none saith, where is my maker? That's our foundation. Who giveth songs in the night. When you're absolutely certain concerning the things of God, no matter how dark it is, you'll be able to sing in the night. In Psalm 42, and verse 8. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. His song shall be with me. Assurance gives song in the night. Causes us to look to God. Psalm 77 and verse 6. Psalm 77 verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. My song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Psalm 149, verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Assurance is what enables one to do this. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 29. Ye shall have a song as in the night. So there is such a thing as a song in the night. And I believe that it comes from the assurance of knowing. The assurance of knowing God. The assurance of knowing Jesus Christ. The assurance of knowing the truth of Scripture. And it doesn't matter how dark the night might be. This assurance gives one a song in the night. We see it enables one to sleep in peace. In the prison experiences of life in Acts chapter 12, verse 6, we see Peter in prison, chained between two soldiers, asleep. Just asleep. Assurance enabled him to sleep in peace. And it also enables one to sing in the prisons. Acts 16:25, we see Paul and Silas singing in the prison. So this assurance that ought to mark our lives and does mark the Psalm 23 life gives us peace of heart and mind. It also gladdens the heart. It brings joy. That's conveyed in the idea of a song in the night. But it gladdens the heart. Notice in Psalm 146 and verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Happy is this man. It doesn't say he will probably be happy. Happy is. Right now. Whatever's going on. Doesn't matter. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. He knows that God is his help. He has that assurance. Whose hope, whose assurance is in the Lord his God. This assurance brings joy. There are a lot of miserable so-called Christians today. I mean, they're more miserable than lost people. They have no hope. They don't have this hope. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. Proverbs 10, verse 28. "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. But the expectation," which explains hope, "of the wicked," of the world, "it'll perish." In other words, they'll be disappointed. But you and I who have this assurance produces gladness in our hearts. There's just nothing quite like knowing for certain. God says something and we know it's true. We don't need anyone to prove it. We know it's so because God said it. Again, I have nothing against the Creation Museum. I've been there a few times. I don't have anything against it. But I don't need that to give me assurance that God is a creator. Genesis 1 gives me that assurance. And if there were no Creation Museum, I still got Genesis 1. That's enough for me. And again, that's not a criticism. Romans 5, verse 2, "By whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope." We rejoice in hope. We rejoice in this assurance. It brings gladness. In Romans 12, verse 12, "Rejoicing in hope." Rejoicing in hope. You look at this world and there's not much you can rejoice in. But I can rejoice in hope. I can rejoice in assurance. And it is this hope that will enable us to bear great loss, even with joy. Notice in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." He's describing a very severe, catastrophic famine. Verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Hope. That's where our hope is. Our hope is in the Lord. I don't set my hope in the next election. We set our hope in the Lord. That's where our hope is. That's where our assurance is. And this hope enables us, again, it's lively, it's in us. And enables us to triumph over difficulties. Notice in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. That is, when all human possibilities were taken away, he still believed. This is talking about Abraham, still believed in hope. Still held on to that assurance. When everything around him was saying, no way, he still held on to assurance. This hope gives us courage. Romans 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. It gives us courage. It gives patience or endurance. Notice in Romans 8, verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We hope for something. We can't see it, but we know it's certain, and we can't see it, so what do? We wait for it. That's hope. That's assurance. And we know many things about God. We can't always see it. But when we can't see it, does that make it mean it's not so? Of course not. It means we have to wait. We have to wait. God's people don't like to wait. Human nature doesn't like to wait. But hope gives us the ability to wait. Gives us the ability to wait patiently for whatever we're looking for as far as God is concerned. So hope, assurance, is a wonderful, wonderful truth. It's something that God has given us. And again, as you read Psalm 23, you see it all the way through. Every word, every phrase, every verse has this tone of, I know it's so. I know it's so. And that's again why it's another reason it's so important to have a relationship with the Lord, to have an experience, a daily experience with God. Because what that does, it feeds our assurance. I know it's so because God said it, but I know it's so because I've experienced it as well. It just feeds assurance. And assurance, as we've seen today, feeds a lot of other good things. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this assurance that you give your people. We pray, Lord, that you would cause our assurance of the things of God to grow every single day. And Lord, we just pray today that you would help us to worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's here. We thank you for each home represented. We pray for each need that is present here today. You know the needs of each one of our hearts. And we do pray, Lord, for those that are lost, that you'd speak to them, that you would open their hearts to salvation this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.